came from and who made the difference. By his own testimony, to remember God's mercies to him through life, he built on the back of his estate a little humble home, very much like the one in which he was raised, complete with furniture of the past, woven rugs out of rags and circles like the ladies used to make, and a wood stove, wood floors. And very often he'd leave the big house and he'd go down to the little frame cottage and sit in his mother's rocker, which he still owned, and rock and meditate on the mercies of God to him. He told someone who asked him about this peculiar habit, he said, "I know who I am. I know what I was. I know where God brought me from. I know who made the difference. And I know what and where I could be now, except for His grace. And I pray the Lord will always help me to remember who made me the difference. And all that I have, I receive. And that I may never boast or brag and bring any credit to myself. It's all by His grace." And that's what this second chapter of Ephesians is all about. It's about what we were. It's about what we are now by His grace. And it exalts and magnifies Him who made the difference. In verse 11, Paul says, "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Here in these early verses, Paul tells us six things about ourselves, what we were. He said, "Remember that in times past you were Gentiles." Not only, as he said in verse 2, dead in trespasses and sin, but we were Gentiles, Gentile dogs. That's right. It was our Lord Himself who said that. When the Canaanite woman came to him, the Gentile woman, and asked him to have mercy upon her, and he didn't answer her at all, just turned away. But she wouldn't leave. She cried after him. And his disciples said, "Send her away, she cries after us." And our Lord turned to her and he said, "It's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs." Gentile dogs, that's what she was. That's what we were. But she gave a beautiful reply, didn't she? She said, "I'm your dog. I'm your dog. And masters feed their dogs. So if you'll just brush a few crumbs off the table for me, I'll be thankful." Our Lord praised her faith. But that's what we were, Gentile dogs, dogs. And then the second thing he says about us is this. Remember, you were called uncircumcision by way of reproach, uncircumcised dog, by way of ridicule. We were not of the household of Abraham. When God gave to Abraham the token of the covenant, the token of the covenant, which was circumcision, we weren't included. We were with the Philistines and the Amorites and the Hittites and all the other ites. We were not of Judah. We were not of the household of God. And then thirdly, he said, at that time, verse 12, you were without Christ. This is what we were. You were without Christ. The Messiah was promised to Israel. Our Lord said to those Pharisees, "What think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he? Whose house and lineage is he? What nation is he?" They said, "Son of David, household of David." Well, we weren't in that household. We weren't in that line. And we had no Messiah. That's right. No Messiah promised to the Gentile dogs. Moses said, "The Lord will raise up that prophet from the midst of you." Not out yonder. Dogs, uncircumcised, without a Savior. That's right. And then he says, fourthly, "You are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." What does that mean? We had no tabernacle. When Israel was encamped down here in their encampment, and all the 12 tribes around in their particular places, in the center of the camp was a tabernacle and a courtyard. And God's presence dwelt there. God dwelt with Israel, not with these pagan, Gentile, uncircumcised dogs, our forefathers. The pillar of fire was over the tabernacle in Israel. The cloud of God's presence was over the tabernacle in Israel. We had no tabernacle. We had no priesthood. We had no mercy seat. We had no atonement. We had no way to God. Aliens, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, and no promise of being any better. And then he says here, "And that if you're a Gentile dog, uncircumcised, without Christ, an alien from the state of Israel, no tabernacle, no priest, no mercy seat, no atonement, then you are what? You have no hope. You have no hope. No hope of salvation, no hope of glory, no hope of heaven, no hope of redemption. No hope." And the next thing he says about us is this: we were without God. Without God. It was said back then, "He who dwells outside of Israel is one who has no God." Without God in this world, no knowledge of God. Romans chapter 1 is all about our ancestors who knew not God, who knew not God. God turned them over to their reprobate ways. We had no prescribed worship of God. We had no way to come to God. Oh, verse 13, listen, "But now," right now, "but now, behold, what manner of love God hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, because now we're sons of God." Right now. But now here's the key. Here's the key. Let everybody listen carefully. "But now in Christ Jesus." But now in Christ Jesus. In Christ. Look over here at chapter 1 of Ephesians and count the number of times he talks about us being in Christ Jesus. Christ in us and us in Christ. Paul said this, Paul said this, "It pleased God to reveal his Son in me," not to me, "in me." Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you in Christ. Christ in you and you in Christ, one. Now watch this. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, lacking nothing," lacking none, "in the heavenlies," where? In Christ, "according as he hath chosen us," where? In him. "Christ be my first elect," God said, "and then chose us in our head." God calls him mine elect. We're chosen in him. in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, before God in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, family, God's household. How? By Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, not our will, his will, not of the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. Listen, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted. Where? In Christ. Verse 7, in Christ we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Well, you heard what we were, but now are we the sons of God. Now, how? In Christ Jesus. Now watch this. You Gentile uncircumcised dogs, without hope, without help, without God, who sometimes were far off. How far off? How far off were we from God? As far as death is from life. That's a long way. As far as Satan is from God. As far as darkness is from light. As far as hell is from heaven. As far as the east is from the west. As far as lies is from the truth. We were far from God. Hopeless. Barnard said, without help, without hope, without God, without Christ, at our wit's end. We're far off. Now watch this. But now in Christ, you're made nigh. By the blood of Christ. How nigh? How near? That's how far off we were. Now how near are we? Now watch it. Old Augustus Toplady wrote this. A debtor to grace alone, of covenant mercies I sing, nor fear with his righteousness on my person and praises to bring. The terror of law and of God with me had nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hides all my transgressions from view. Things future, nor things that are now, nor things below and above, cannot make him his purpose forego or separate me from his love. Near, so near to God, nearer I cannot be in the person of his beloved Son. I'm just as near as he. That's how near. Think about that. I don't have any place to go and sit in the rocker and think about that now. How far, you who are far off from God, are brought right into the very presence of God and seated with Christ at his right hand. By Christ we have access into his presence, into his grace. Through Christ, the scripture says, come boldly before the throne of God. Boldly, with liberty, confidence, come boldly right into the Shekinah glory. Presence of God, the throne of grace, and find grace to help and mercy in time of need. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Nothing, listen, nothing good or nothing bad that I do gives me access to the Father, and nothing good or bad that I do will deny me the presence of the Father. It's Christ. It's Christ. Far, listen, 14, far. This is the reason. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he's our peace.
People say the Lord made peace.
Yes, he did. But he is our peace. He himself is our peace. That's what we need to get a hold of. Peace is not just a condition, it's a person. Christ is our peace. The Lord will make a way somehow. I used to hear that song when I grew up. He'll make a way somehow. He is the way himself. He gives us life. He is our life. He is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we'll appear. We're where he is. Where the head is, the body's not too far behind. It's one. He is our life. But he's going to reward us. He is our reward. That's what God said to Abraham. I am your exceeding great reward. I'm your reward. There's nothing better. There's nothing in heaven better than him. He's my reward. He's my life. He's my rest. He's my sanctification. He's my righteousness. He's my truth. Does he preach the truth? Or does he preach Christ? That's what people used to ask, does he preach the truth? And what they meant by that, does he preach close communion, or does he preach, you know, some other doctrine? The truth is Christ. Christ. It's not a peculiarity that makes us different from other religions. It's a person. I am the truth. I am the truth. He is our peace. How did he become our peace? Well, turn to Philippians, Colossians 1, just a moment. Oh my, listen to verse 19, Colossians 1, 19. It pleased the Father. That's reason enough, isn't it? Why do you people believe so strongly in Christ? It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether there be things on earth or things in heaven, and you, uncircumcised Gentile dog, you that were one time alienated, enemies in your minds by wicked work, you have he now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, listen, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight, in the very sight of God. He's able to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. He's our peace. Verse 14 says, he's our peace who hath made both one. Both who? Jew and Gentile. Those folks that had the tabernacle and those folks who didn't. Those folks who had a high priest and those folks who didn't. Those folks who had their ancestors back yonder and us folks who had our ancestors back somewhere else. He had broken down that middle wall of partition between us, the ceremonial law. I have now a tabernacle. Not that old one. God's taken that away. Not that tabernacle, not that priesthood, not those animal sacrifices, not those special holy days, not that ceremonial law. Taken that away. Broken down that middle wall of partition that separated the Jew and the Gentile. I have a tabernacle. It's Christ who tabernacled among us. God has set him forth to be a mercy seat. We have a mercy seat. We have a high priest. It's Jesus Christ the righteous. We have a sacrifice that is a better sacrifice than that of Aaron and the priest. We have a circumcision. God's operated on these hearts. Cut away that old flesh, given us a new heart. Oh, my. Now, how do you do this? Well, turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. He hath broken down that middle wall of partition. It says here, he hath abolished, verse 15 back here in our text, he hath abolished
in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances and the elements, to make in himself of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man. Hebrews 10, verse 1. The law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices, tabernacle, priesthood, sacrifices, which are offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because if the worshippers, if they were purged by those sacrifices, forgiven by that blood, would have no more conscience of sin. They wouldn't offer any more sacrifices. But every year in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sin. Every year. Because it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Those were types and pictures. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. God never had any pleasure, any satisfaction. The law was never satisfied. God's justice was never satisfied. God never had any pleasure in the sacrifices of animals. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body made of a woman, made under the law. Our federal head, our representative, our second Adam, the Lord from heaven, a body you prepared me. Listen. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. But then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me. I come to do thy will. Perfectly, completely, fulfill thy will, thy purpose. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein which I offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Watch it now. He taketh away the first tabernacle, the first priesthood, the first mercy seat, the first offering, atonement, all these things, takes them away. And establishes a second, Christ. That's true in everything. The first Adam, gone. Second Adam, the Lord from heaven. The first covenant with Adam, broken. Second covenant. Second reveal, but the first in time. The covenant with Christ, the covenant of grace. The first tabernacle, God, the first priesthood, the first mercy seat, our first nature, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We're now born from above. The first heaven, the first earth. He said, behold, I make all things new. Everything. Nothing saved, nothing preserved, nothing of all of those pictures and types and shadows and examples. Go! Go. And don't ever let anybody bring you back under that bondage. It's gone. That's right. He hath, verse 15, Ephesians 2, abolished. Abolished in his flesh, in his sacrifice, in his offering, in his coming, in his flesh, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, the types and shadows, touch not, taste not, handle not, eat not, do not, so forth and so on. Keep holy days, Sabbath days, tithing, priesthood, places, examples, put it all away unto Christ. For what purpose? To make in himself of both Jew and Gentile, male and female, old and young, black and white, rich and poor, to make of both one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in his body, in one body, by the cross. having slain the enmity thereby, slain the power of Satan, the power of sin, presence of sin, dominion of sin. Oh, thank God. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the good news. He made one. Look over here, Ephesians 4 a minute. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body. There's one Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope, Christ our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. Unto every one of us is given grace. Grace, free grace. Sufficient grace. His grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, in Christ. Well, how did we find out about this? Well, verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who were so far off, and to those Jews who had the promises, the types and the shadows, and the examples, and the prophets, and the promises, and the word. He came and preached. Did he preach to us? He preached to the Jews. He preached to the Jews himself. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Some of the Pharisees said, well, will he turn to the Gentiles? No, he preached to the Jews. Well, how did he preach to us? He preached to us through his apostles and through his prophets. That's how he preached to us. 2 Thessalonians, Paul describes it here. God spake to us through his Son. But his Son said, as my Father sent me, send I you, and he that heareth you heareth me. And Paul, he was a servant to the Gentile. He was God's chosen vessel to bear the good news to the Gentile. He spoke for Christ. He was an ambassador. Listen, he said, I am an ambassador of Christ, as though Christ did himself beseech you through me. That's what Paul said, through me. Now listen to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Paul said to that church, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you, he spoke to you, he preached to you, and called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Listen to this. And Paul said, thanking God again for them, he said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you. So that's what it's talking about here when he said, Christ came and preached peace to you that were far off. He came through his messengers, through his servants, through his apostles. And they hear. How can they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? But how shall they preach except they be sent? All right, let's bring it to a close. Verse 18, for through him, our Lord Jesus Christ, everything God has for me is in Christ, because of Christ. John Faithful gave this outline. He said, everything that a holy God has for sinners is in Christ Jesus, only in Christ. All of those mercies and blessings in Christ are ours by a union with Christ. He's the heir, we're joint heir. We're married to him, and what's his is ours. We bear his name, his inheritance, joint heir with Christ by union. That union with Christ is accomplished by faith. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son hath not life. That's by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is born of hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So through him, verse 18, Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, male and female, whatever the differences, we have access by one Spirit, the Spirit of God, unto the Father. Now therefore, oh, I love this scripture here, this verse. Now therefore, you're no more strangers. I'm no more a dog. I'm a son. I'm no more uncircumcised. I'm circumcised in heart and spirit. I'm no more a stranger, an alien, a foreigner. I'm in the family. You're in the family of God. Sons. Sons of God. Fellow citizens with the saints. Household of faith. You want me to tell you about my family now? Turn to Hebrews 11. Here's some of my family. Hebrews 11. I'm no more a stranger, foreigner. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I'm a fellow citizen with the saints. Verse 4, by faith Abel. That's one of my family. Verse 5, by faith Enoch, who walked with God. Verse 7, by faith Noah. That's my family. By faith Abraham. Just keep on going down through that chapter of God's children. That's us. Each one of you who believe, your name's right there. Family of God. I'm no more stranger, no more foreigner. I'm a fellow citizen with the saints, household of God. Watch this now. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. One with the apostles and prophets, one with the Old Testament, New Testament saints, one with the saints above and the saints below. This is the church. This is the temple of God. This is the household of faith. This is the kingdom of Christ. And Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. He is the beauty and the strength and the glory of the building, and he keeps it together. And verse 21 says, in whom? Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building, fitly framed, joined together in him, grows. It grows as God adds to it. It grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. And when the last stone's put in, he'll be back. He'll be back. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and you for the place, and I'll come again and receive you. In whom you also, are built together for a habitation of God. Where does God dwell? In all these different buildings and synagogues and cathedrals and temples. God dwells in this temple here, this family, in his people. Church is not a building. The church is his body. All right. Let's sing number 187. Years and years ago, about 1800, there was a pastor named James Fawcett, F-A-W-C-E-T-T, about 1800. He was pastor of a little church, over in England. Been pastor there a long time. He was an excellent preacher, hymn writer, gifted man, had a wife and some children, and lived pretty poorly because he had a very small congregation. And he got a call to a big church in London. They sent a pulpit committee down, heard him preach, and they said, "We want you to be our pastor. Move to London. Bring your family. Got a place for you to live, good congregation for you to preach to." And he resigned from the little church. It's a true story. He resigned from the little church. Came time to preach his last sermon. He preached it. And then they brought the wagon to load what furniture they had on the wagon. He and his wife and children were going to London, pastor of the church. All the little congregation was gathered around the wagon, and they had their handkerchiefs out crying, blowing their noses. Their pastor of years and years was leaving them. All the children were up on the wagon, you know, and the dog and the household furniture, and his wife was sitting up there, and he was shaking hands and hugging the people for the last time. And he looked up at his wife, and he said, "Wife, come down off that wagon. We're not going. I'll never be able to find such love and fellowship in London like I have here. We'll just stay here." They all rejoiced. And he went in the house and sat down and wrote this hymn. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship is like to that above." Let's sing it. I think it fits in right here with this message, the household of faith, the family of God, our family tree.